Good morning, church. Oh, that was lovely. It is really good to be back. It is really good to be back in the south and to see you guys. I know some of you guys, and there's a lot of people I don't know. My name is Dre. Yondre is the full name, but I'll just go by Dre. And my wife, Mick, Michaela, she's actually from Invercargill. And we got two little kids here this morning, Finn and Pippa as well. Yeah, so we're really excited just to be here this morning, just been asked to come down and to give you guys a bit of an update on the ministry that we're involved with in Dunedin, and also specifically what this year's looked like. And then I'd love to just finish with just a bit of an encouragement, just looking at a few verses, and just for us to think on that. So for us, we live in Dunedin and have for the last 10 years or so. We fellowship at Cornerstone in Dunedin, if some of you guys are familiar with that. And we've been a part of a ministry there for the last 10 years or so called Student Life. And Student Life is a ministry on campus where we work full-time, reaching lost students and discipling them as well. And so this morning we'd love to tell you guys a little bit more about that. Going back, Student Life, a little bit about us. Student Life exists because we believe knowing Jesus is necessary to transform a student and the world around them for good. And this is something that we have seen firsthand. So for myself, I was actually born and raised in South Africa, and I moved with my family to Auckland. And then when I finished high school, I moved down to Dunedin to go and study, like so many young people do. Otago University is about 80% of students come from out of town, so it's quite a unique setting, as many of you guys are aware. And I hear some of you guys are thinking of going there next year. And I was fortunate enough that during my first year at university, I heard the gospel and I was saved. And so that was a really huge turning point for me as someone who moved down for all the wrong reasons, all the reasons it's usually on the news. Moved down. I don't know what happened there. You moved down for all the wrong reasons. And really, when I look at it, probably the last thing that was on my to-do list was anything to do with God. But God had other plans. And I am so thankful that while I was on campus and definitely on the surface, far, far away from God, God drew me near and saved me. And for the next 4 years that I was at uni, I was discipled closely and really taught, what it meant to follow Jesus. And this morning we talked about reaching out, and taught, man, this is good news. This is not just good news, this is great news. And God uses normal people like us to go into this world and to go and share his good news. And so this morning, I'd love to give you guys just a little bit of update of what that's looked like, if that's cool. So the little model that we have, we talk about win, build, send. And so we really desire to see students come to know the Lord. We want to win people to Christ, build them up in their faith, and then send them out. And this passage over here, I think it was quoted this morning, it's well known. But just read this for us over here. Jesus speaking says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." That's the command. Go. And we just think university is such an incredible opportunity to do that. So both Mick and I studied at Otago University. And actually, at the end of our degree, we did an internship with the ministry. And after that, moved away to Australia, went and drove trucks in the mines for a few years. And then came back and have been back for the last 10 years or so working full-time with students. And the university scene is an interesting one because it's, if anyone who's had anything to do with the university, it's not really the real world, I think we don't want to admit that, but it's this little artificial world that exists within the real world. But it is a really unique opportunity to reach students. It's a really, really unique opportunity. Like I said, most people are away from home and then really discovering, like, who am I and what am I about? Who am I going to be? And making those really big decisions. And, you know, I think we all here know people who go to university and get really lost, or go to university lost and it turns out really bad. But there's also just an incredible opportunity to reach people with the gospel. And that's probably been what we've seen. So some of those opportunities for us, we're fortunate enough that, you know, we live in New Zealand and it's pretty open. So we can actually just approach people on campus and say, hey, we're Christians. And there's a lot of parts in the world that we can't do that, church, you know. And so start of the year, O Week, is just an incredible opportunity for us to do that. And that's why I've got these over here. And so start of the year, we're on campus. If you're on campus, come grab yourself a Keep Cup. There's about 3,000 students at the start of the year who grab one of these. And so, you know, just say, hey, from Student Life, it's one of the Christian clubs. Grab yourself a free cup and fill out a wee questionnaire with us. And one of the questions on them, down the bottom, it says, how interested are you to talk to someone about Jesus? Like, that's pretty straightforward. And for the people who are interested, we just give them a call. And it's pretty amazing. It's about 40% of the people who fill out one of these say, yeah, I'd be open to talk to someone. And we then follow that up. There's also just opportunity during the day-to-day on campus to kind of approach people and to talk to them. Also, Dunedin is unique. Everyone lives within minutes of each other. You know, everyone knows everyone. And so to be able to be equipped, to be able to share your faith with those people who are natural in your life, it's just amazing. And then the night scene, which I'll talk about a little bit more. You know, nightlife in Dunedin, there's a unique opportunity to really run towards the messiness and reach people where they are. The desire isn't just to, you know, see people kind of make a decision for Christ and then to leave them. It's really to build them up. And really for us, we're really excited to work with, you know, students who come to uni. And often you meet people who are Christians, they come to uni, and they're like, man, I'm away from mum and dad, and this is mine. I want to grow. I want to grow. And we're so excited to be able to work with, you know, students like that, to be able to equip them to share their faith and to grow in their own walk with the Lord as well. And yeah, this little verse over here, I think it's just really key. It kind of captures it, you know. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men will be able to teach others also. It's really the picture of a multiplying disciple, you know. It's not just teach someone. It's actually go find faithful men and women that you can teach, who will be able to go on and teach, you know. Disciples who can make disciples. And that's why we're here 2,000 years later. And so, you know, with that, we get to run weekly Bible studies. This is one of the Bible studies I was a part of this year. And some of these guys are really mature in their faith. Some of these guys just come to faith this year. And then there's kind of guys in between who are just figuring it out, you know. And so it's just a really unique opportunity with these guys who have lots of time to be able to catch up and to do those things. We run camps, retreats, and conferences. And this year, some of you guys, if you were at Easter camp out at Lakeland, you got to meet some of the guys there. And it's a really special time. It's a really special time. And when I look at universities, I think the students themselves, it's such a such a specific time in your life. You know, it's like maybe 3 or 4 years that will affect or set the trajectory for the next 30, 40, 50 years. And I just think it's an incredible opportunity to reach people for Christ. And finally, just over here, just send, you know. So, yeah, we want to see people go. You know, that passage in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go. And so, yeah. Great verse here, Romans 10:13-15 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the good news. I don't know if you guys, when was the last time you were on a campus or what you've heard, But I'll tell you, it's pretty grim in lots of ways. And, you know, I've been on Otago University now for the last, I've been there for 15 years. I studied and have served there for over 10. And I would say the last year, the last 12 months, it's probably been the most open people are spiritually that I've seen. And I don't say that every year. It's not every year when I get up to say, hey, what's been happening? I genuinely mean that. I think in the last 12 months, I've seen people spiritually more open than I have ever. Yeah, well, here's the thing is, I think, you know, Neville, if you go talk to 18 to 20-year-olds, 21-year-olds, when I talk to 35-year-olds or 40-year-olds or 50-year-olds, there's some similarities there, you know. 5-10 years ago, the things that seemed really rock solid in this life, in front of us, the cracks have started appearing. The cracks really have started appearing. What do I mean by that? I was talking to a young guy the other day who's not a believer, who's started reading the Gospels. And we were talking and, you know, the conversation was, in a couple of years from now, I might be on the other side of the world with a rifle on my back. I'm like, yep, you are right. That is the world that we live in. The world is broken, and you can't just hide in this little artificial world. I talked to another student. She said, I'm currently studying. I'm in my first year, but I know by the time that I graduate, I probably won't have a job because of AI. It's just a fact. You know, there is a pessimism that I have not seen amongst students about the planet and the environment and the future, and they're like, we've had our chance, and it's gone. You know, people like, I come to university to study so I can get a degree because there's this, you know, this sector that I want to go into, and now it's bankrupt and there's nothing there. This is the reality for a lot of people. And the last few years have shown us that this world is actually really, really fragile. And for a long time, the worldview, the predominant worldview that's pushed is the naturalistic one. It's only this world and there's nothing else. And it actually leaves you in a really, really grim place. Leaves you in a really grim place. A number of people that I've had to deal with this year have taken their own lives, students, or struggled with that, is just off the charts, church. Like, it is broken and messy out there. But there is good news. There is really good news. And so we want to send our students. We want to see them go. I want to see them go across the campus or across, you know, to their flatmates. One day they'll graduate and they'll be out in the real world. And Mick and I feel fortunate enough now that, you know, I'm double the age of a student. I'm kind of, you know, shelf life. I'm just kidding. You know, but starting to feel that, you know. So these guys now, it's no longer that I'm like, hey, I'm your 18-year-old friend. I'm like, I'm dealing with guys. I'm like, you don't have a dad. I'm like a dad to you. And it's good. It's really good. And so we want to see these guys go. And so we see them now, the guys who, you know, 10 years ago are now dads for me that I deal with. They're leading in their church. They've got careers. And it's amazing to see these guys grow up. You know, when they're 18, you're like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And praise God that he's really faithful, you know. And so we want to see them sent out. Universities, it's this big. It's 3 years. There's a lot of life after that. And so you want to play the long game. They'd be here one day. They would lead. They wouldn't just, you know, fizzle out. And so, you know, this guy over here for me this year was a real highlight. It was a real highlight. Some of you guys might recognize him. I think the first time I was at church here was in 2015, which is when I met him, actually. So, yeah, 2015 was here. I probably would have put a photo up on him. I know you guys pray for us as a church. There's individuals here as well. And this is Caleb. And so I got a message saying, can you go catch up with this guy? I don't know where he's at. I don't know who Caleb is. So I grabbed a coffee with Caleb. And in a very real way, Caleb recommitted his life to the Lord after being in Dunedin for a year. And I got to disciple him for the next 4 years. And after that, he went up. He's a physiotherapist up in Middlemore for the last 6 years. Just doing great things for the Lord. And for the last 18 months or so, he quit that job, and he's been over in Central Asia in a part of the world where the gospel's not been for almost 2,000 years in a very hostile environment. And it was such an encouragement to catch up with him actually in June this year at our camp. He was back. for a bit. And to see the impact that you could have on someone's life as an 18-year-old and how God would use them. You know, these are families, mums, dads. These are guys in their career and their churches, all the ends of the earth to go. And church, that is true for us, for the students that we work on campus. And I want to encourage you this morning, it's true for you as well. You know, it is true for all of us. And so this year for me, you know, this has been our team. So there's a team of us. We serve full-time on campus. And yeah, just want to kind of highlight that. Just really thankful to the Lord for raising up these people. These are men and women who have all studied at university. At the end of that, I've kind of said, look, lay down a degree. I'm going to go serve the Lord full-time. And I just feel really fortunate to be able to serve alongside just real quality men and women like this, you know, who love the Lord and have a heart for the lost. And this year has been a real joy for us. And so a real highlight for me personally, just want to share with you guys, is a guy called Jacob that I met this year. And you guys, if you've been praying for us, you would have seen his photo. Yeah, you saw me at Easter camp this year. And, you know, this is the story of Jacob. Jacob got a cup. That's where the story starts. But actually, it starts way before then. I met Jacob. I gave him a call. And he is unchurched from Wellington. And when I say unchurched, I mean like unchurched. And when you sit down with him, you're like, man, it's so obvious that God has been working in your life. And at 4 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon in a university building, out loud, Jacob has cried out and said, Jesus, will you save me? And, you know, I was like, oh, man, this is happening. I said, look, I'd love to catch up with you again. When can we catch up again? You know, lay a solid foundation. He said, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. I'm like, okay, you're serious. You know, caught up with them. At the end of that, I said, look, we'd love to make a time again. When can we do that again? 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm like, okay, this is great. You know, why can't all students be like this? But very early on, just talked to Jake and said, hey, look, you know, your most powerful, and this is true for us as well, your most powerful evangelistic tool that you will have in your life is holy living. And you live in a college with 450 students. And you need to let your light shine. You need to let your light shine. And he's done an incredible job. Everyone's got their name on their door. It says Jacob. He drew a little cross and he wrote, God lives here. If you have any questions, please knock, or any prayer requests, please text this message. Well, his phone started getting real busy at about 2 in the morning, you know. And it's just been incredible over the year to see how God has used him in that place as he's let his light shine. And this over here is Jacob again, guy in the middle there. His name is Tom. Some of you guys might recognize him from Southland. We watch the Stags game together often, actually. He's from Dipton, Tom Menlove. Him and his wife joined our team this year. And this guy, Daniel, with the glasses. And, you know, story this year is actually with Jacob. Jacob met a girl in his college. She told him about her brother. And that's Daniel, who's not a Christian. They started going to the gym together. And Daniel has come to faith. And this is them catching up, going through some studies on just what it means to know the Lord, how we can be assured, dealing with sin, all of those kinds of things. And actually, just on Friday, they caught up. And Daniel said, this summer, I'd like to get baptized. Yeah, just amazing. Just amazing. And I think it's fair to say that the world is a really broken place. But God is doing amazing things, church. Yeah. He's doing amazing things. And he's doing amazing things in your community, in your world. You know, he is at work. He doesn't stop. He's drawing people near to himself, you know. And a big place for us that we've seen this year is just being nightlife. And so we talk about this over here. It's just an opportunity for us where we go out and we do barbecues. And this is really where you see the messiness, you know. I often go home and my house is clean and warm and it smells good. My little kids sleep real peacefully in their bed. And I believe that that's what it looks like everywhere, and it doesn't. That is not the world we live in. And this has been so good for me to be out here, to be out where the messiness is. You know, you talk to our students, say, hey, come join us for nightlife. And I think on a you know, Thursday or a Saturday night, like tonight, if the Lord was here, he'd be on Castle Street and he would hang out with these broken students. And I just want to quickly highlight just a few guys. I'm just going to name some names with just some stories just to encourage you guys. This year we were on Castle Street. It was about midnight, getting ready to wrap up. And this bloke, he's actually from McCargill, second year. He walked up and he said, he'd had a bit to drink, and he said, for the last year I've been reading the Bible by myself. Is there anyone here that could help me? It's on Castle Street at midnight. I'm like, I think you've come to the right crowd. We're here. We can. And so we've been catching up with him, and he's actually come to faith. It's an incredible story. There's another guy. His name is Bo. And maybe 3 weekends ago, he rocked up to church for the first time. One of the guys in my Bible study noticed him, chatted to him. Unchurched. Bo had never been to church in his life. It was his first Sunday. He'd never talked to a Christian. And for the last 12 months, he'd been reading the Bible and had come to faith. Just reading God's word. So he rocked up on the Sunday and said, I'd like to grow. Can someone help me? This is what's happening, you know. I think of another guy, Ben, who I met out on Nightlife this year. Just one of those guys you sit down with, you're like, you are smart. Like, I can feel that you're very smart. Studying philosophy, second year, real skeptic. One of our last catch-ups, he said, interesting words, he said, I think the most likely narrative is that Jesus really rose from the dead. And then he said, I think I should start reading the Bible. Can you guys get me one? And so we've been catching up with Ben. He's been reading the Bible, you know. On Friday this week, there's a young guy, Ethan. One of the guys on my team. I was out that night. We met Ethan. And they've been catching up with him all along, this for the last 4 months or so. And on Friday, he made a decision. He's like, I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to be a self-directed person. And these are the things that are going on and that we're seeing regularly. It's not all just, you know, happy days. There's some really, really difficult days for us as well. But these are the things that are happening and that God is doing. And I just want to encourage us with that this morning. And so I'd like to finish with this little passage here. And I think this is, as far as like an application goes and just try and land this. For us just to focus on this here, I just want to read this here. And just as I read this, just ask you guys just to engage, for the heart to engage with this. It's really neat that we get to be on campus and you guys pray for us. And as a church, you guys support us. And we're just so thankful for that. But this here is true for all of us. This applies to all of us. This is not just, you know, out there. This is all of us. Let me read this. It says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I'd love for us just to think about that just for a sec, what that means. You know, just right at the top there, just the word everyone. This is true. We need to hold to this, church. We need to remember this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. You know, and just prior to this, you know, Paul's making a great argument here. He's saying this is for the whole world now. And it's not what you do. It's what you believe. It's who you know. And that God has made a way for everyone, everyone, to be right with him. But how? But how will they be right with God? How will they call on the name of the Lord if they've not heard? And how will they believe without hearing? And how will they hear without someone going? And so I think just as a way of application this morning, it's really simple. I would love for you just to think this morning, when you see the word everyone, I just want you to think, who is the one? Who's the one person in your life that you love who doesn't know the Lord? Who's the one person? And, I know this feeling. I have many, many, many people in my life who don't know the Lord. But I need to hold to this. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And I want to encourage us this morning is like, what is the thing that you can do this week? I just love before that we stopped and prayed. I love, Neville, that you're like, hey, who's the person on your phone? Who is the one person this week that you want to be intentional with? And it doesn't need to be with words necessarily. You can just get involved in their life. You're like, man, I got to get more involved. I got to spend more time with them. you know, maybe it's a hobby that you guys have together, maybe it's a family member, maybe it is someone you've got to call up. Who is the one person this week that you can take a step towards? And that last line over there is just, you know, I love that. It's just, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And church, when we live in this broken world, which we do, you and I, as broken as I am, our feet are beautiful. This world is hopeless, but there is hope, and that hope is in Jesus. So I just want to encourage us this morning, just, you know, take that. I'd love to pray for us. I'd love to pray for us, and just finish by just saying thank you guys so much for praying for us. We really value it, like you guys, so much. And yeah, it's great to be able to share just some of the things, you know, that God has been doing. It's also really difficult things as well. And so just really, you know, it's just amazing to know that there are just people who are behind us just praying for us as we go out and go do this on campus. So I just want to say thank you so much. And if there's anyone here who's heading to university, at some point, love to be able to connect with you. It's not all intense. There's a lot of fun to have at uni as well. So I just want to say that. Or if you guys would like to get our prayer letters, we'd love to just be able to pass them on. But let me just pray for us. Lord, just say thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are with us. And thank you that your word is true. Thanks for these words, Lord. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you, Lord, that once upon a time for all of us here, we were far off. We were far off, and I'm so prone to that. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Pray you would help us, Lord, just as we go about our day, as our week start tomorrow, that we would do a good job of loving you, Lord, and loving people around us, and that you would help us with that. You would help us with that. So help us, please, to have our eyes fixed on you and to trust you. I ask these things in your name. Amen.